chapter 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and Daniel 12. As we always do, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Ask Him to bless this time. Father, what a joy it is, and truly a privilege to own a Bible. And for many of us in this room, we own several Bibles. We've highlighted them. We've written things in them. We've gone through the various books, searching for truth, searching for encouragement, searching for answers to the questions in our lives. And Lord, there's so many places in this world that people go to for answers. But it's good to know there's always a place to go to get the truth. And though it may not always be comfortable, may not always be easy, once we know the truth, God, we do believe you give us the strength to live out that truth. So as we talk today about trials that come up in our lives, I pray that you would encourage us through these times, through these seasons that you allow difficulties to come to make us stronger. And so, God, we pray, lead us and guide us through your word, by your spirit, that our eyes would be fixed on you and you alone. For it's in your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Life is hard. Would you agree? Life has difficulties that come. Sometimes it seems like one right after another. Maybe today, maybe this morning, you're going through a difficult season. Maybe there's circumstances in your life, in the workplace, in the home, in your friendships, in your school. There's something going on that's just weighing heavy on you. The Bible calls them trials, tribulations, troubles. But see, when we get into Peter, we look, just as we did in the book of James, we see them look at trials a little bit differently than we do, don't we? Don't they? I don't know about you, but when I'm in a trial, the first thing is that I ask God is, get me out. When that difficulty comes, when that thing is on the horizon that I have to do, that I really don't want to do, I'm like, God, deliver me. God, release me. But for the mature Christian, we realize that many times these trials, these difficulties, these temptations that they're there, are there to strengthen our faith, are there to make us more bold and more confident in God. So for some of us in this room, we embrace our trials. We know that God, you're allowing this to happen for a reason, for a purpose. But the thing we do know is you're going to be with us. You're going to carry us through. We're going to learn some things. We're going to pray a lot more. We're going to seek godly counsel, maybe through the word, maybe through other believers. We're going to do something. We're going to be active in our faith. I find sometimes in my life when trials aren't there, I get a little lax. I don't know about you. Maybe I don't pray as much as I should. Maybe I'm not as dependent on God as I should when I'm going through a difficult time. So trials, in some senses, are good things. They draw us close to God. And we're going to see as we look at these verses that that's what God wants. He wants you to come to Him. He wants you to spend time with Him. He wants you to take that time to talk to Him. And to let Him know what's going on, not that because He doesn't know, not because you're going to have to give Him some revelation of the things that you're going on in your life. No, He knows everything that's going on in your life. He knows every hair on your head. But He wants you to talk to Him about it. He wants you to share how you feel about it. And maybe in some sense, He wants you to exercise your faith. Say, God, I know this is tough. I know you're with me, and I know you're going to get me through it. Just help me learn what you want to teach me as soon as possible. Maybe that's just what God wants to hear. And we see that time and time again. David, you know, just crying out to God, all the difficulties that he was going through. And then towards the end of many of his letters, he said, but God, my trust is in you. My confidence is in you. But you've heard my heart. And God wants to hear our hearts. Trials create in the Christian a deep reliance on God. I don't know about you, but when I'm going through something tough, I gotta hold on to the Lord. I got to draw closer to God. I said, Lord, I know I'm not behaving the way you want me to behave. I know I'm not responding to this the way you want me to respond. And so I need to be relying upon you. You've taught me some things, God, and now I'm going to put these things into practice. When your life is going smoothly, you don't lean on God as much. When life gets rough, oh, we cry out to him. Or we should. We should. I mean, the world goes to other places. The world does other things to numb the pain. But we need to come to God and say, Lord, help us through. And make us stronger for the trials. I find three, listen, treasures that are revealed through our trials. Three treasures that are revealed through our trials. And that's what we're going to look at here in Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to pick up in verse 6 is where we left off last time. And again, three treasures. I know it doesn't make sense to say trials and treasures. It seems like an oxymoron. No, there are treasures in our trials. Look with me at verse 6 of 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with a joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Pause there and give me your attention. Again, we're talking about Peter. Peter's writing these things, and you've got to read this several times before you can really kind of begin to grasp what Peter's trying to convey, what he's trying to relate to his readers, to his hearers, and to us this morning, and to you. What is it he's talking about? Listen, in this, in verse 6, you greatly rejoice. In what? Well, we find that in verse 5, if we back up from last week. Who are kept, speaking about believers, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In that verse, you can rejoice in the salvation of God. And in that, what we talked about last week, that once God has a hold of you, he won't let go of you. Nothing can snatch you out of the hands of God. And so Peter says, rejoice in that. Rejoice in the fact that God has his hand upon you. That God has his hand upon your life, and he's going to allow you to move out of that protection, as long as you commit yourself to him and rely upon him and keep your faith in him and trusting in him. So he's saying, in that, you greatly rejoice, though for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Peter is writing to a group of people that are just like you and I. They're grieved when they go through trials. Trials are difficult. Trials are not easy. See, it's the same thing that James said in the first chapter of James when we went through, right? He says this, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. James said, count it joy when you fall into trials. Peter's basically saying, greatly rejoice in the trials that you're going through, because you're going to go through them. The fact of the matter is, if you have at least a small heart for God, you're going to go through a difficult time. Just the little bit of faith that you may have, you're going to have to go through a trial. You're going to have to go through difficult times. Jesus himself said it this way, in this world you will have tribulation. But he also says, be of good cheer. Same thing as James, same thing as Peter. So both of them are really recounting what Christ said. You're going to have difficult times. You're going to have tribulations. You're going to have trials. Rejoice in them because I'm there. Rejoice in them that I've overcome those things I've set to you an example. I don't know about you, but sometimes I look at what Jesus did in the Gospels and I'm like, well, of course, he's God. He's God, right? So he lived the perfect life. So when we look to Jesus, sometimes I think some believers go, how can we really use him as an example? I mean, he's perfect. I mean, he walks on water. He raises the dead. How hard? If I walked on water, if I could raise the dead, then I could get through trials too. Listen, Jesus came as God, became fully man. Do you understand? Fully man. Experiencing the same grief, the same pain, the same difficulties that you face. And he, as an example for you, lived the perfect life so that you could say, looking to him, I have the ability to live the perfect life as well. I have the ability to ignore, in a sense, the trials that I'm going through, the difficulties I'm going through, because my focus is on God. You see? If we're looking to Christ as our example, then we have this hope, like we talked last week, we have this hope that God, you're going to carry me through this one as well. I can do it. Because I don't know about you, it's real easy to say, I'm not Jesus, so I'm just imperfect, too bad, get used to it. It's a bad attitude. The attitude should be, I'm a mess, I'm a loser, I'm nobody, except now Christ is in me, I have the Holy Spirit, so now I have the power that raised the dead in me, I should live in the right way. I should endure these trials. Listen, nobody sits in a prayer meeting and says, let's pray and see how many trials we can go through this week. Right? We don't do that. But in a sense, if we're saying to God, God, I want your will for my life. God, I want your blessings in my life. God, I want you to be glorified through the things that happen in my life. Do you know what you're asking? You're asking for trials. You're asking for difficulty, because the only way your faith is going to be stretched, the only way God's going to get the glory is if difficulty come into your life and that you survive it, that you live through it, and that you can say, to God be the glory. You see? So this is what we're talking about. Again, I told you, three treasures. We see here in verse 6 and 7, this idea of rejoicing. So I want you to write this down, the first point. Treasures of trials. Number one, trials are necessary for my growth. Trials are necessary for my growth. If you've ever read like a devotion called Streams in the Desert, or there's other ones out there, they talk many times of great trees. What is it? I think the great oak. A great oak gets strong because of the heavy winds that blow upon it. It makes it strong. Its roots go deep. And in these devotions, it always talks about the trials in your life are strengthening you. And therefore, embrace those trials. And so that's why I say, trials are necessary for my growth. They're going to make me strong. You've heard me say many times, if you don't have any problems in your life, if there's no difficulties, then you're not going to be that strong when difficulties come. I'm kind of weird, you know that. And so when I see a couple, and they say, yeah, we've just got married several months ago. I'm kind of weird, and I'm want to get down into the knee. How are things going? Oh, things are great. I'm like, you're lying. maybe that's just the society we live in. Everybody needs to make sure that everything's going great. When the reality is, no, we fought last night. No, we got in an argument last week. When he got home late from work and dinner was spoiled, I was really mad at my husband. See, the thing that we say is that life is good, my marriage is great, despite all those things. I don't know about you, but things happen in my life that I wish never happened. Things that I've done that I wish I've never did, or at least confessed to from the pulpit. But you know what? When I look back and I see those things, they make me a better Christian today. It's like, okay, God, I wish I didn't respond that way, but it taught me something. It taught me something. And the difficulties that maybe you're going through, the trial that you're going through right now, if you would have this attitude, it's necessary for me to grow. It might help you endure that trial. It might help you get through it a little bit more. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's relational. Whatever it is, if you will stay the course, not abandon all hope, and let God show you some things, you're going to be stronger on the other side for it. You know, you learn how to manage your money. You don't just automatically, you know, when you have a job, know how to manage money. You have to learn how to do that. And it's learning those things and becoming mature in those things and responding positively to those things help you endure when difficulties come. So they're necessary. Trials. Peter uses the word trials rather than tribulations or persecutions because he is dealing with general problems for the believers he's writing to. These are just general things that we deal with. You know, kind of like waking up on Sunday morning and your back hurts. You know, wake up and you're tired and you just don't want to go to church. You just don't want to go to work. You just don't want to. It's the everyday stuff that's just there. That's what he's talking about. Christians face these things all the time because we live in a world of unbelievers. And so that makes it even more difficult. Notice, and again, the reason I say this, in this you greatly rejoice, verse 6, though now for a little while, if need be, those three words, if need be, if you would circle them, basically Peter is saying, if you have need of a trial in your life, guess what? God's going to give you one. That's why I say trials are necessary for you. Trials are necessary for you to, if need be. And basically, Peter's saying, and you probably need it. You know, you rejoice in this. The various trials are coming if you need them, because we do need them. Trials are needed. The phrase, I need be, indicates that there are sometimes times when God knows you need to go through something difficult. You hear me? It's just not happenstance for many things. Sometimes these things just happen for a reason. God's saying, how are you going to respond? How are you going to get through this? So if need be, if we need these things, trials discipline you when you have disobeyed God's will. Okay, let me say it again. Trials discipline you when you have disobeyed God's will. Look at here overhead. Psalm 119:67 says this, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I keep your word. God has a way of using trials to keep us on the path that he has for us, to keep us directed. Before I was afflicted, before the trial, I went astray. And for some of us, we're wondering why we're in the trial, and maybe God's saying, you're going astray. You're putting your hands to things that I tell you not to put your hands to. You're seeing things that you should not be looking at. You're doing things that you should not be doing as a Christian. To me, this is the greatest need in the world today, in the church today, is Christians that are going to live like Christ. Honor Christ. Don't think you're going to live like the world and just tack Christ on yourself and think, I'm a Christian. No, no, live like a Christian. Respond like a Christian. Love like a Christian. Be gracious like a Christian. Because why? Because the Holy Spirit compels you, not because some other Christian compels you. Not because some other ministry compels you or even the world compels you. Well, you're supposed to be a Christian. You're supposed to love me. Yeah. You need to be compelled by God to respond in that. So a trial may come in your life because you're disobeying. But listen, just because a difficulty is coming in your life doesn't mean you are disobeying. Do you hear me? Some people think, well, when some bad thing happens to me, that means I'm sinning. No. Bad things happen. Even when you're not sinning. Difficulty comes. That's the world we live in. Trials prepare you for spiritual growth and help prevent you from sinning. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, our first stop. Trials prepare you for spiritual growth and help prevent you from sinning. 2 Corinthians 12, look at the first verse. Paul says, it is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know, God knows. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven. Third heaven is where God dwells. And I know such a man. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows. he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words which it is not lawful for me to utter. Of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast except in my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth, but I refrain, lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations. A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul the apostle somehow was transferred up to the third heaven in the presence of God, was given inexpressible revelations to Paul, revealed to him by God. And Paul says, and to make sure I didn't boast because of the things I saw and the things that I did, that Paul didn't come back and say, hey, I've been there. I've been to the third floor. I know God. I saw him. He gave me a bunch of stuff. You need to come talk to me. A thorn in his flesh. The apostle Paul. That's a trial, guys. And we can talk all day what this thorn, what's the thorn? Is he blind? Can he not see? Is he, whatever it is. It's something that humbled Paul enough to keep him in that place before God saying, you're God, not I'm not. And so sometimes these trials will keep you in a place so that you won't boast or that you won't be prideful or that you won't do something that dishonors God. So honestly, the trial that you may be going through is protecting you for something. It's keeping God's hand on you to hold you back from something, you know? I've told traffic drives me crazy lately, even still. But every time I get frustrated, I think of the words that I say. You know, that accident might be there to keep you from harm. You know, that red light that you keep hitting is keeping you from whatever is ahead. And it's like, okay, I got to remind myself of that. And so these trials that happen in our life are needed. They're necessary. If need be, a trial is going to be there to hold you back, to slow you down. The flu. I mean, many people got the flu. I wonder how God used the flu in your life to protect you in some way. And how miserable you were going through it, right? Oh, the flu. God may have used it. It's necessary. We do not always know the need being met, but we must trust God to know and to do what is best. He knows what's best. He knows what's best for your life and to rely upon that. So whatever the thorn is in your life right now, embrace it and focus on God's grace is sufficient for me. God's grace is sufficient for me. I've been saying this probably for the last 4 weeks, and I feel like a broken record to some of the people early on Sunday. Every single Sunday morning for the last 4 weeks at least, I've woken up with a bad back. Where my back just hurts. So, and it's like I stretch it every Sunday. I'm telling you, tomorrow morning I'm going to wake up and I'm going to feel like I could run a marathon. It's just the way it is. It's like, why is that? Why is that? It's like, okay, somebody doesn't want me to be comfortable. Is it God? Is it the enemy? I don't know. But it's a little thing that is there, and I'm like, okay, Lord, there's a reason you're allowing it to continue. Trust me, I've asked, Lord, the thorn in my flesh, please take it. My grace is sufficient for you, Rob. Oh, okay, Lord. It's a reminder. It's needed, whatever it is. Back to 1 Peter, not only are they needed, look at this. Trials are also varied. He says various trials, various, different kind of trials. Not different like you're unique, you're the only one that gets that particular trial, but the trial that you are having this week is going to be different than the one you're going to have next week. That word trial means manifold, and it's the same word that Peter uses for God's grace. He'll say it later in chapter 4. It says, and each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold or the varied grace of God. The manifold, varied grace of God. Same thing, varied, manifold, different trials. Isn't it funny how every time you seem to get victory over one trial, then another one comes? It's like, all right, I figured it out. I know what to do when this happens to me. And now it's going to be different. Now God's going to change it up. Why? He's got something else to work on you. He's got another sharp edge he's trying to file down on you. So they're varied. They're different. Again, in verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Trials are needed. Trials are varied. I don't think I need to tell you this one. But trials are hard. Trials are hard. It says grieved by various trials. It doesn't say enjoyed, embraced. It says grieved by various trials. Trials are hard. Peter does not suggest you take a careless attitude toward your difficulties. We don't need to put on a mask for the church, for Christians, I'm good, I'm great, no problem, when everything inside is going bad. This, to me, if we don't realize that there's going to be difficulties, there's going to be those trials that are hard, then that's going to grieve us, and we're not going to be honest with it, the enemy will use that to destroy you in that area. And this is what I mean. There's things that happen in people's lives that nobody else knows about. They don't want to share it because either embarrassment or the people might look down at them. But listen, there may be something going on in your life right now that you need to share with someone so that they can be praying for you. There's been several times in this ministry that things have happened that as a church, as staff, we stand back and go, we had no idea that it was even going on. So I don't want to get into the details, but it's like tragedies are happening in the body of Christ that nobody knows about and therefore nobody can help with. Does that make sense? Don't be a statistic that looks like the world. Don't be, in other words, whatever you're going through, it's hard, it's difficult. Don't do it alone. Let us pray for you. Let us enter into the presence of God and seek the Lord's heart for you. Don't be embarrassed. If you're a man in here or a woman and you are struggling seriously with pornography, don't do that on your own. Why? It will destroy you. We know people that it has destroyed. So, and don't be too, well, if I let the church know, then they're going to not let me serve. Listen, we let people who love the Lord serve, but we're here to help those who love the Lord deal with the difficulties in their lives. It maybe it's another type of addiction. I don't know whatever it is that's going on in your life. And you've heard me say this many times. If you're in here and you're a married person, and you are looking at another person of the opposite sex with lust or with desire, or maybe it's not even that. Maybe it's just, well, we just get along. We just talk well. Be careful with that. It's dangerous. Get it out in the open. Share it with someone. Say, man, I love my wife to death. She's the only woman for me. But there's this girl at my office that I just keep thinking about. Help. Let us pray for you. Let us help you. And sometimes you just need to say, that's wrong and stop it. I don't know about you. We sometimes, as parents, that's wrong. Don't do that anymore. Stop that. Most of us did that. But why? Because it's going to harm you. It's going to hurt you. And I know that seems like a very, very basic thing for counseling, but it's like some of us just need to know, don't do that. Stop that. Don't go there. Drinking, alcohol. Is it a sin for Christians to have a drink? No. It's a sin for a Christian to be drunk. And if you're getting drunk on a regular basis, stop it. Maybe someone needs to hear that this morning. Well, I haven't gotten in trouble yet. Stop it. It's not right. There's nothing wrong with having a glass of wine at dinner. There's nothing wrong with having a beer every now and then. If you're starting to, well, I just get a little tips. Danger. Danger, danger, Will Robinson. Danger. The enemy knows where you're comfortable with sin. You hear me? The enemy knows where you're comfortable with sin, and he's just waiting for the opportunity. See, right now, if you just have a drink at dinner and that's cool, or you just get a little, I can control myself. What happens when tragedy hits your life? What happens when life gets so stressful that you're like, I just can't deal with this? Guess what? You're going to start drinking more. And then it's going to be really bad. So I hope you hear my heart. Trials are hard. You don't have to do it by yourself. Certainly confess it to God. But reach out and say, man, because I believe there's marriages in here that could have survived if someone would have said, I'm messing up big time. And here's the reality. For some, they want to. They want to mess up big time. They just don't want to tell anybody. And God doesn't want that. That does not honor God. So don't be a statistic. Trials are hard. Even for Christ. You know, this word grieved, it's the same word used to describe Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. In Matthew 26:37, it says, and he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. The Lord dealt with it too. Are you sorrowful? Are you deeply distressed? Don't be embarrassed about that. Don't be ashamed about that. To deny that your trials are painful will only make them worse. You just gotta embrace it that it's going to be tough. Sometimes it's going to be tough, but don't do it alone. Don't put on this Christian mask that everything's good. You know? We used to have this, this is years ago. I would love to find it. It was a little card. We called it our accountability card. And you had to write it in really small font in order to get it on a business side card, in order to get all the questions you should ask other Christians to see how they're doing. How's your relationship with God? How's your relationship with your spouse? How's your relationship at work? Challenging questions that were to be answered truthfully. How is your marriage with your spouse? My marriage is great. Good. Could it be greater? Are there areas in your relationship where it could be greater? And do you want greater? God wants greater for all of us. And to look for those things. But look at this most important thing. Not only are trials needed, not only are trials hard, and not only are they varied, finally, they're temporary. Thank you, Lord. They're temporary. It says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while. If your whole life is but a vapor, how little while is your trial, right? How little while? It's only temporary, just for a little while. Maybe you've heard this illustration. See, God knows the trial you're going through. And God has got his eye on the timer, and he's got his hand on the thermostat of your trial. And he knows when it's going to be over, and he knows when to turn it up, and he knows when to turn it down. God's in control, and they're temporary. It's only for a season. So embrace the season. Learn that it's going to be over at some point. Praise God for that. And now I'm realizing we're into a two-part series. Trials. But look at the results of trials, and then we'll end here. Verse 7. Okay, verse 6. Rejoice in these things. It's not just for a little while, though it need be. You've been grieved by different kinds of trials. Look at verse 7. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. For the mature believer, when your trial's over, you look back and you go, thank you, Lord. You look back and you say, I needed that. That showed me, that taught me, that made me a better person. God was revealed to you in a greater way. God was revealed to you in a deeper way. You found another characteristic or quality of the Lord getting through that trial. And you were taught by that. That the genuineness of your faith was stretched, your faith was increased. The purity of this faith It's much more precious than what? Gold. And maybe you've heard these illustrations as well. The goldsmith, when he's purifying gold, right? Pours the gold in, puts it in the fire, burning off the dross, burning off the impurities. And they say the goldsmith, when he would see his reflection in the pure gold, he knew it was done. He knew it was complete. In the same way, God has this trial, this heat of trial in your life that's going on. He's burning off the dross. He's burning off the flesh. He's burning off the sin in your life, and he's waiting to see his reflection in you. He's waiting to see his face in your life based on what's going on in your life. Only then will he pull you out of the heat. I see my character in you because of this trial. I see my character, my countenance is coming through. As Christians, we're here to be what? Christ-like. We're to be following Christ, living like Christ. And it's going to take these trials to make us like Christ. If he faced trials, we certainly are going to face trials. Glory is revealed when Christ returns. It's glory, right? He's going to finally return. And I think it's Peter or Paul that says, you know, what is the scripture? There it is. It's right here on my notes. Let me look. He says this, Romans 8:18. Actually, it's going to be overhead. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. Now, it does seem a bit odd that Paul would say, you know, the difficulties, like, you know, the sufferings that I'm going through, I'm not even going to compare them to the glories of God. So it just seems, don't they seem like opposites? Okay, the sufferings, why would we compare those to the glory of God? Because it's the sufferings that we go through that brings glory to God. It's the sufferings that we endure that brings us to the Lord, shows us the Lord, reveals the Lord to us. So I just love the heart of the Apostle Paul. I consider these sufferings not even to be considered when I compare it to the glory of God. I don't know about you, but when I get through a difficult time, I'm like, thank you, Lord. Glory to your name. You again have amazed me, Lord. I mean, do we really have to say, you amaze me? He should always amaze us. It should always be amazing that God does anything with us. Right? Who are we? Who are we that you would create us and that you would love us? I think it was just someone this morning that said, I don't know why God loves me. I said, I agree with you. I don't know why he loves you. I don't know why he loves me. But I sure am glad he does. I sure am glad he does. And if we will look at the need for the trial that's going on in your life right now and how important it is, and I know, again, it's hard, it's difficult, but God's going to get you through. Don't go through it alone. I just think that's the most important thing we need to go away with today. Don't go through what you're going through alone. Be mature, step up to the plate, say, I need some help. I need someone to love on me enough to be there with me. Let's be those people that are willing. And let's not be those people that when someone tells you their difficulty, don't do this. Just go, okay, yeah. And inside go, oh my God. Listen, I don't think there's anything any of us could share with the other that we'd be so surprised about, do we? Right? It's no different. We all struggle with the same thing. It's this flesh that we're in. But let's glorify God, right? Right there. May it be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I want to come at the end and go, Lord, it was worth every bit of it. Every bit of it. Look at the gold and precious stone that you've revealed in my... Burn off all the stuff that I did, God, and just reveal the things you did in my life. They're all yours. What a wonderful time that's going to be when we can finally say it's over, it's done. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth, God. The truth is that we all are struggling in some way. And maybe there's someone here that has everything in order and everything's good. And praise be to God for that. But let us not be foolish enough to believe that just because we're Christians, that we're untouchable by difficulties. But Lord, bring those difficulties into our lives as you see fit, as you deem necessary for us, so that we would be better, stronger, bolder, more loving, more compassionate. Lord, we want to be like you. And Jesus, you took the stripes, you took the nails, you died for us. None of us has suffered in that way yet. Reveal your glory, your honor, and your praise. We look forward to that day that you return. But we're going to be busy while you tarry. We're going to be busy loving, ministering, serving, living lives in line with you. We love you with all of our hearts. Let it be displayed in the lives, the things that we do, so the world will see. We love you, God. It's in your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.